That means Iran lodges an official protest over the U.S.'s seizure of its oil near Greece, saying it's deeply concerned about Washington's continued violation of international laws. China hits back at U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who called for action to counterbalance Beijing's influence. And Russian forces have come closer to surrounding Ukrainian troops into eastern cities as they try to expand control over the Donbass region. Hello and welcome, everybody. Iran has summoned the chargé d'affaires of Switzerland that represents U.S. interests in Tehran to protest the seizure of an Iranian flagship in Greek waters. The Iranian Foreign Ministry expressed strong protest at the U.S.'s clear violation of international regulations on free navigation. The ministry urged the immediate lifting of the confiscation of the ship and its cargo. On Wednesday, it also summoned the Greek chargé d'affaires in Tehran to protest the confiscation of the vessel. Greece impounded the Russian-operated vessel this week following a U.S. request. Iran says the ship was carrying oil and sought refuge along Greece's coast after experiencing technical problems and bad weather conditions. Iran says the U.S. has unloaded the cargo, and that amounts to international piracy. Historian and political analyst Markus Papadopoulos says Washington uses Greece as a tool to deepen its influence in the eastern Mediterranean Sea.
Greece is used as a tool by Washington to not only enhance America's position in the eastern Mediterranean and also in North Africa, but also to try and interfere in Russian foreign policy objectives in the eastern Mediterranean, Syrian foreign policy objectives in the eastern Mediterranean, and also Iranian foreign policy objectives in the eastern Mediterranean. And it comes as no surprise to me whatsoever that the Greek government, which is only independent in theory, has acted on the instructions of Washington by detaining this Iranian vessel. Why? It is a way of the Americans attempting to interfere with Iranian trade as a way of trying to weaken the Iranian economy. Greece, as I said, is fundamental to America's position in the eastern Mediterranean.
The Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council says some countries in the region and beyond are sending Takfiri terrorists to Afghanistan. Ali Shamkhani said terrorism and radicalism are among main causes of insecurity in Afghanistan. He pointed the finger at the United States, saying Washington and its expansionist policies are at fault for the 20-year war in Afghanistan. Shamkhani said the U.S. must release Afghanistan's frozen funds and make up for the financial damage it has inflicted on the country. The top Iranian security official was speaking in Tajikistan's capital, Dushanbe, at a regional summit in Afghanistan. On Afghanistan, that is, Shamkhani said his country has always backed the security and stability of its neighbor. He said Iran is hosting around 5 million Afghans without effective international aid. The fate of the 2015 Iran deal remains far from clear as talks between Tehran and the P4+1 group are stalled. As we'll see in this next report, Iran says the main remaining issue in the talks is about its right to economic and trade benefits under the JCPOA.
Talks to revive the 2015 Iran deal, known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, remain stalled after a year of intensive diplomacy. Senior diplomats from Iran and the P4+1 group, namely Russia, China, Britain, France, and Germany, have held many rounds of talks in the Austrian capital, Vienna. The diplomatic initiative to restore the deal has become a long and complex saga. Whether negotiators will finally cross the finishing line is anyone's guess. All parties have acknowledged that there are a few remaining gaps that need to be bridged between Washington and Tehran before the deal emerges. But what's keeping the talks from further progress? It has been repeatedly said that Washington's refusal to remove Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps from its terrorism blacklist is the most important sticking point. But Iran's top diplomat has given a vastly different account of what is blocking the path of the negotiations. Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian told the World Economic Forum on Thursday that the issue of the IRGC being on the U.S. blacklist of terrorist groups is a minor issue that has been exaggerated and magnified by the Israeli lobby, and that Iran's top priority is the interests of the nation. He also warned that American interests and foreign policy have been taken hostage by the Israeli regime. Israel has made no secret of its opposition to the 2015 deal and diplomacy with Iran. It has been engaged in a not-so-covert campaign to derail the Vienna negotiations.
Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian stresses that what has caused a pause in the negotiations is Iran's economic and trade demands, and the most important remaining issue is the effective removal of economic sanctions. The top diplomat says the maximum pressure campaign launched by former U.S. President Donald Trump must end. He says the window of diplomacy is still open, adding that Americans know what they need to do.
U.S. President Joe Biden was a vociferous critic of Trump's unilateral withdrawal from the JCPOA in May 2018. During his presidential campaign, he pledged to work to rejoin the agreement. But has he done so? Iran's top diplomat says that has not been the case so far.
The fact that the United States, under the Biden administration, has failed to return to compliance with the agreement shows that the United States is not really interested in a rules-based international order, because one of the most basic pillars of international law by the United States' own agreement are United Nations Security Council resolutions. And again, it's binding.
Amir Abdullahian told the World Economic Forum that Biden's policy towards Iran has not been different from Trump's hostile approach. The Iranian foreign minister said the U.S. president must decide now whether he wants to waste time or courageously return to complying with U.S. commitments under the 2015 deal. His comments come after U.S. Special Envoy for Iran Robert Malley said the prospects of a return to the Iran nuclear deal are tenuous at best. Malley made the remarks on the same day that the Biden administration unveiled new sanctions on Iran. The U.S. Special Envoy for Iran noted, however, that Washington still believes it is in the national security interests of the United States to try to salvage the 2015 agreement. The future of the hard-earned international deal remains unclear and could unravel completely if Washington fails to return to its commitments. Meanwhile, Israel is doing its utmost to prevent any deal between Washington and Iran, just as it did before the JCPOA came into existence in 2015.
No group and no block of people has more power and influence in the United States than Jewish leaders in shaping how Americans think and American attitudes. And that's not only true, but it's especially true with regard to Iran. The American media is overwhelmingly very hostile to Iran. And this is in keeping with what Jewish leaders and all those who support Israel really want.
Will the administration of Joe Biden be able to withstand pressure exerted by the Israeli lobby and act based on America's national interests?
China has hit back at a Thursday speech by U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken that called for action to counterbalance Beijing's influence. China has accused Blinken of smearing its domestic and foreign policies. China says Blinken's speech spreads false information and interferes in its internal affairs. Beijing says the speech shows that Washington seeks to suppress China's development and maintain its own hegemony and power. The top American diplomat accused China of posing the most serious long-term challenge to the international order. Blinken said that China wants to reshape the order and called on countries to prevent that. Ties between the two powers have become tense in the past 2 years, with both pointing the finger at each other's policies. And Russian forces have come closer to surrounding Ukrainian troops in two eastern cities as they try to expand their control over the Donbas region. The Russians have been attacking from three sides to encircle the Ukrainians in the cities of Severodonetsk and Lysychansk. That's according to Ukrainian officials. They say Russian forces reached the last highway out of the cities and even set up a checkpoint. But it was later broken. The officials say the Russian army does not control the route now, but they are shelling it. If those two cities fall, Russia would gain control over the Donbas province of Luhansk. Over the past few weeks, Russia has focused its fighting in the industrial eastern Donbas region, where Moscow-backed pro-independence fighters are stationed. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Russia is pursuing a policy of genocide in Donbas. Well, Ukrainian far-right military regiment hit the headlines after Russia launched its military operation in the country. Our correspondent in Mariupol, Johnny Miller, tells us how the extremist group is engaged in the Ukrainian conflict.
The notorious Azov Battalion, officially part of Ukraine's National Guard, their neo-Nazi roots are well documented, as are many of their crimes before the war started, such as the use of torture. Nazi-affiliated insignia remains a common sight on their clothing. Their base was in Mariupol, overlooking the Sea of Azov. They defended it fiercely against the Russians, but lost. Amongst the ruins, some anti-Azov graffiti. It reads, "Death to Fascism," and some more graffiti, perhaps written by an Azov member. It sums up their ideology. Life is slowly returning to the city, but people here will live with what they saw for the rest of their lives.
Yes, I witnessed Azov killing civilians. It was in Kurchatov Street. They were shooting from there, shelling blocks of flats, private houses, everywhere.
Each had three bazookas and a machine gun, and they started shooting. I can't say where they were shooting, because they locked us in the basement and warned if we attempted to leave, they would shoot us in the head. So we sat in the basement. The walls were shaking and they were firing with everything, with those American javelins as well.
Ask anyone in Mariupol who was here during the fighting and they will likely tell you stories like these, of Azov targeting civilian houses and of the use of hostages and human shields.
It's striking that everybody I've spoken to today here in Mariupol has no criticism of the Ukrainian army, who treated them well, gave them food, helped them evacuate, but that it's Azov, the Azov battalion, who mistreated them, using them as human shields and shooting them, targeting them.
The Ukrainian military have an aim to defend civilians, and they do it. But Azov ignore these rules, and they humiliate people in different ways. Once I saw them pull two women from the streets and drive off somewhere.
This is Konstantin Ivachenko, the new mayor of Mariupol.
We are finding traces of their crimes gradually. In the area of Mariupol airport, there are brutal places. There was a prison called the library, and all people who disagreed with the neo-Nazi point of view were tortured there.
Have you found any NATO weapons with Azov? Is there evidence that NATO has been arming Azov?
Yes, sure. We found Stingers and Javelins. After the city is reconstructed, we will put them on show. We have a lot of them. Lots of Javelins.
While thousands of Azov members have either been killed or have surrendered in Mariupol, they remain a powerful influence in Ukraine, not least because unlike many Ukrainian soldiers, they are ideologically driven to fight the Russians. As NATO weapons flood the country, many of them will find their way into the hands of extremists. Johnny Miller, Mariupol.
U.S. police are under scrutiny for their late response to a school shooting that killed 19 elementary students and two adults in the state of Texas on Tuesday. A video circulating online shows families of the students urging officers to take action while standing outside the school. Local media say police waited outside for at least 40 minutes before confronting the gunman. The shooting took place in the city of Uvalde earlier. Authorities held a press briefing praising police for their quick response to the massacre. Families of the victims dismissed that. Meanwhile, activists have gathered outside the U.S. Capitol calling for action to control gun violence.
I'm here because I'm scared it's going to be me next. I don't know who's next. Me, my friends, my peers, and nothing's being changed. I'm a 17-year-old girl in high school, and something needs to be changed, and there needs to be laws in place.
I'm a grandma. I'm against guns. That's all. Gag. It makes me gag every time this happens, and it happens all the time.
Always.
Two times in the last 12 days.
The second go-round.
How much more can we put up with this stuff?
The activists called for more restrictions on people legally acquiring guns. Some also proposed prohibiting gun purchases by the people under 21. They argued that such a rule could have prevented the 18-year-old shooter in Texas from acquiring weapons. The U.S. has seen several mass shootings this month. Almost 2 weeks ago, a gunman opened fire at a grocery store in Buffalo, New York. 10 people were killed and 3 wounded. 11 of the victims were African American. The World Health Organization has urged countries to take quick action to contain the spread of monkeypox. A senior official with the UN agency says the priority needs to be containing the rare viral illness in non-endemic countries. Sylvia Bryan has told the agency's annual assembly, quote, "If we put the right measures in place now, we can contain it easily." The measures include the early detection and isolation of cases and contact tracing. Bryan has also called on the general public not to worry, since the transmission of the virus is much slower than others, such as the coronavirus. Monkeypox is endemic in parts of West and Central Africa, but it has spread to about 20 countries, where nearly 300 confirmed or suspected cases have so far been reported. And that brings us to an end here on this edition of World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
القرآن للذكر فهل
Shakir.
Path towards enlightenment.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam and welcome to another episode of our weekly series titled Path Towards Enlightenment, which is an endeavor to make you and us familiar with an easy and fluent explanation of God's final scripture to all mankind, the Noble Quran, that was revealed to the last and greatest of all messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. As you know, we are currently explaining Surah Ar-Rahman, which is considered the crown of the Noble Quran, since it opens with the word Ar-Rahman, or the All-Beneficent, thus proclaiming one of the most beautiful attributes of the Almighty Creator. This surah highlights the All-Merciful Lord's wonders of creation, describes the end of the material world, and paints an evocative picture of the delights of paradise. Hell is briefly contrasted in Ayah 43 with the joys that await the righteous. The refrain, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, which means, so which of your Lord's bounties will you both, mankind and jinn, deny? Runs throughout the surah. We continue from where we left you last week. And here are ayahs 46, 47 of the said surah.
وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
And for him who stands in awe of his Lord will be two gardens. So which of your Lord's bounties will you both deny? If you might recall, in our explanation of the previous ayahs of this surah last Friday, we referred to the horrendous events that will occur at the end of the world when celestial bodies and galaxies will veer from their orbits, turning into a flood of molten substances beyond our imagination, before emergence of a new order of existence. We also said that on the Day of Judgment, the faces of the guilty will reflect their deeds. Those who had committed abominable sins and disobeyed divine commandments will be cast into hellfire, since they died in the state of atheism, polytheism, and all sorts of disbelief, or were habitual sinners who never bothered to repent of their evil deeds, despite the long respite given by the All-Merciful Lord. The ayahs that we recited to you now mean to say that, in contrast to the terrible fate of the people of hell, the righteous persons who were always cognizant of God Almighty and beyond His commandments will be immune from the horrors of that day, and will be rewarded for their correct beliefs. As Ayah 46 means to say, there will be two gardens or more in paradise for any believer who was in awe of the exalted Creator, since such a state prevents a person from committing sins. A hadith in this regard from the Prophet 16 fallible heir, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, means to say, "The one who believes that God is all-seeing and all-hearing will be in awe of standing before God and thus will not commit evil deeds." From these ayahs we learn that, number one, God is all-merciful and His glory inspires awe. But this does not mean He is the source of fear for His creature. Number two, the proper cognizance of the Almighty Creator and adherence to the path of the Prophet and the Imams make the faithful to be always wary of their deeds and fear disobeying Him. Number three, God should not be worshipped for the desire of paradise or the fear of hell, but should be worshipped out of gratitude as the only one deserving a worship. And number four, rewards for the people of paradise are beyond imagination. And the reference to the awarding of two gardens with all their bounties for a righteous person is an indication in this regard. Let us now listen to ayahs 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, and 53 of Surah Ar-Rahman.
ذَوَاتَا أَفْنَانَ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ فِيهِمَا عَيْنَانِ تَجْرِيَانَ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ فيهما من كل فاكهة زوجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان.
Both the gardens abounding in branches of a variety of fresh fruits. So, which of your Lord's bounties will you both deny? In both of them will be two flowing springs. So which of your Lord's bounties will you both deny? In both of them will be two kinds of every fruit. So which of your Lord's bounties will you both deny? These ayahs speak about the infinite bounties of paradise, where a variety of fruits are available on branches of the two gardens granted to a believer. And unlike the trees in this world, these branches are perennially fresh with fruits always available and not seasonal as part of divine blessings in paradise. These gardens will always have two springs of fresh flowing water to provide a pleasant atmosphere of unending bliss for the faithful to enjoy these favors and give thanks to the all-merciful Lord. In both the gardens, every fruit will be of two kinds, perhaps a variety that was available in this world and another which is special to paradise with more delicious taste. These ayahs are interspersed with the rhetorical question, "So which of your Lord's bounties will you both, mankind and jinn, deny?" From these ayahs, we learn that, number one, in the gardens of paradise, there is an infinite variety of fresh fruits and shady trees of verdant branches beyond human imagination. Number two, the gardens have two fresh flowing springs and two kinds of each and every fruit, delightful to the eye and delicious in taste. And number three, the people of paradise will never be tired or bored of the bounties granted by God Almighty. Now let us listen to ayahs 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, and 59 of the same surah.
مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَى فُرُشٍ بَطَائِنُهَا مِنْ إِسْتَبْرَقٍ وَجَنَى الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دَانٍ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فيهن قاصرات الطرف لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهم ولا جان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان كأنهن الياقوت والمرجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان؟
They will be reclining on beds lined with green silk, and the fruit of the two gardens will be near at hand. So which of your Lord's bounties will you both deny? In them are maidens of restrained glances, whom no human or jinn has touched before. So which of your Lord's bounties will you both deny? As if they were rubies and corals. So which of your Lord's bounties will you both deny? These ayahs refer to the other blessings of paradise, where the virtuous will recline in peace and perfect serenity upon couches of indescribable tapestry and lined with brocade, more precious than any worldly fabric, while the ripe fruits of the two gardens will always be available at hand without the need to take the trouble of going after them. The carpets will be of the finest material with the most exquisite lining. Among the rewards for the people of paradise are chaste, very beautiful, and spotlessly clean spouses whom no human or jinn has ever touched, and whose glances are solely for their husbands. It is indeed one of the best merits of a wife to think only of her husband and to love only him. It is proof of the fact that paradise is not the place of illicit relations. When Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, was asked whether a pious pair of husband and wife will remain united in paradise, he replied, "If the quality of piety and faith of husband is better, he will have the option. And if the quality of the piety and faith of the wife is better, she will have the option. If one desires the other, they will certainly live together." Ayah 58 further depicts the beauty of the spouses in paradise, comparing them to rubies in terms of rosiness and coral, in terms of whiteness, since the intermingling of these two colors, namely red and white, presents a very beauteous complexion. These ayahs teach us the following points. Number one, anyone who avoids forbidden pleasures in this world, God will provide him or her with the unending legitimate pleasures in paradise. Number two, chastity and loyalty are the characteristics of virtuous women, and the believing women who made their homes paradise for their husband and children will indeed be granted the eternal bliss of heavenly paradise. And number three, those who enter paradise, whether man or woman, will glow with astounding beauty, even if they were not attractive in the mortal world. In conclusion of this week's episode, we present you ayahs 60 and 61 of Surah Ar-Rahman.
هل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان.
Is the requital of goodness anything but goodness? So which of your Lord's bounties will you both deny? Here, although the general principle is mentioned that goodness by anyone should be returned with goodness, the divine promise is that those who obeyed Lord Most High and strove to do good for His sake will definitely be granted unimaginable rewards in paradise. Thus, how can the human beings or the jinn deny the bounties of God Almighty? These ayahs teach us the following points. Number one, God commands us to compensate goodness with goodness. And number two, the All-Merciful will grant unimaginable rewards in paradise to the believers.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of RIB English Radio, please accept our condolences for the martyrdom of Imam al-Sadiq. Peace be upon him. Now, it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani. He's going to talk about the character of Imam al-Sadiq, alayhi salam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, I offer you all my condolences on the commemoration of the martyrdom of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. I may be speaking for myself, but I feel like many times you and I, we may have heard bits and pieces about the life of Imam Sadiq. We've heard some of the contributions of Imam Sadiq, but we might not have that clear overall picture of what it is the Imam did and who he was. Because of that, what I find for someone like myself is that sometimes when you and I'm speaking about myself, when I'm in trouble, when I'm in distress, when I'm going to reach out to one of the Ahlul Bayt, maybe the first person that I call upon is not Imam Sadiq. I might not have the same emotional connection that I have with Imam Hussein, for instance, or with Amirul Mu'mineen, or even Abu al-Fadl. I might have that same emotional connection, even though we know intellectually they're all one nur. They're all capable of so many things. But maybe we're people like this who the first person we think of is not the Imam. We don't go to him first. Even though Imam Sadiq was incredibly generous. If you and I have the tawfiq to do tawassul, even today, to the Imam, that's something that you don't want to neglect. I want to give you one true story about the Imam. There was a man back in the day who was from Khorasan. And this man, alhamdulillah, was financially well off. He was so well off that he was able to make Hajj at that time every year. That's not a small trip. Even now, that's not a small trip. Every year, alhamdulillah, he had the tawfiq, he would make Hajj. He also had a good habit. His good habit was this. He would bring 1,000 gold pieces, dinars, with him, and he would give that as a gift to his imam. So he would complete the Hajj. In order to really complete the Hajj, you need to visit your imam. He would visit his imam and he would give him 1,000 gold pieces. This man had this habit, alhamdulillah, this tawfiq. One year, his wife asked him. She was also a lover of the Ahlul Bayt. She said, "Can I go with you and make Hajj with you?" Husband said, "Absolutely, let's go together." She decided to get some gifts together for the family of the imam. They made Hajj. When they made Hajj, the man came after the Hajj was complete, came to Medina. They had a house that they were renting, maybe they owned over there. And then he came to the imam with his gift, the normal 1,000 dinars that he had. He came to the imam, he said that, "I have a favor to ask. My wife, alhamdulillah, she made Hajj. She would like to come to pass her salams. She has a few gifts for your family. Is it okay? Maybe tomorrow. Is it okay if I bring her? She can come." The imam, of course, he granted permission. And the next day she came to visit the imam. From the story, it seems that she got to see the family of the imam, but not the imam himself. So maybe his wife, his daughter, they were in another area and the husband came to see him. She went and she was with the family of the imam. Gave them their gifts and she went home. When she went home, They said that she fell
ill.
This is still in Medina, by the way. She's still in Medina. The residents, they rented it, they own it. She fell ill. But it wasn't a normal sickness. She fell deathly ill. They asked her, they said, what's the problem? She said, it's my heart. My heart is bothering me. As it was, her time was up and she passed. The family are now burying the husband, his wife, the children, their mother. They're burying her. They did the normal rituals that you would do. You buy a burial lot, you ghusl, all the things that you normally do. But the husband, the grieving husband, went to Imam and he told the Imam, would you honor us? Would you do us a favor by coming and reciting the Salatul Janazah? Would you pray over her? The Imam surprised him. As I said, the Imam is very generous. The Imam surprised him. Instead of doing that, the Imam stood up in his house. He offered 2 rakats of salah, and then he made a special dua. Then he turned to the man. He said, go back to your house. Your wife is alive. She's doing her normal responsibilities in the house. The man rushed back home. He goes, he sees his wife is alive, whole, healthy, everything. Alhamdulillah. They decided now to, we're finished in Medina, we're going to go back to Mecca. They said that when they went back to Mecca, it happened that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was doing tawaf. He was at the Kaaba doing tawaf. And his wife, who had never seen the Imam in her life, she was walking with her husband. She said, that man, he asked Allah to return my soul to me. So that's who we're talking about. Imam Sadiq is that kind of a person. So I mentioned, and I've talked about him before, I've mentioned to you, brothers and sisters, before, the idea that based on some of the predictions of the Ahlul Bayt, when they looked at the on-the-ground realities, there was a possibility that if the believers did their job, Imam Sadiq would have been the Qa'im. He would have been the one who had the tawfiq to establish the government of Allah on the earth. He would have had that tawfiq. They would refer to him sometimes in some ahadith. The Imam would say, Imam Baqir would say that this is the Qa'im. Imagine, brothers and sisters, that if the believers had done their responsibility and we could have had the tawfiq of the government of Allah on the earth, the kingdom of God on the earth at that time, the person who was higher than the Anbiya, if he was ruling over us. I want to mention another story about Imam Sadiq, just for us to know him a little bit better. Some of the brothers, they said that we were in the company of the Imam and we were having a discussion about tafsir of the Quran. We mentioned a verse of the Quran. It's a very famous story in the Quran where Allah talks about Nabi Ibrahim. And he explains in the verse of the Quran how he demonstrated resurrection for Ibrahim. There were some birds, they were chopped up, they were put together, and then Allah brought them back to life. He demonstrated the miracle of resurrection for Nabi Ibrahim. The guy said, I was asking the question of the Imam. I said, those 4 birds, were they all one type of bird? Were they different birds? The Imam asked us, would you like to witness the miracle yourselves? And we all said yes. They said, right there, the Imam said, peacock. And a peacock came. Crow, a crow came. Pigeon, a pigeon came. Falcon, a falcon came. The Imam ordered some of the people who were around him to cut off the heads of the birds and then to chop the birds up. They said the birds were chopped up, bones, flesh, everything chopped up. They're put together in some sort of a bowl, mixed so that they're all mixed together. And then the Imam took the head of the peacock and he called it. The guy said, with my own eyes, I saw the bird, the flesh, separate from all the meat that was mixed together and form a peacock right in front of me. Then he called the crow, then the pigeon, and then the falcon. So this person, who's higher than the Anbiya, if he was leading the Ummah, what fortune we would have had.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Deep insight and firm determination, the most outstanding qualities of Hazrat Hamza. On January 25, 2022, Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, met with the officials of Hazrat Hamza International Conference. This is a part of his speech with the managers of this conference. Among the believers are men who have been true to their covenant with God. Of them, some have completed their vow, and some still wait, but they have never changed in the least. The commander of the faithful quotes the Holy Quran, chapter 33, verse 23. Hamza, Ja'far, Ubaidah are the three people who embody this part of the verse. Of them, some have completed their vow. Well, these personalities are very important. The commander of the faithful mentioned them in such glowing terms. Such personalities should be highlighted, commemorated, and praised. Such narrations show the significance of Hazrat Hamza. From the first moment he was martyred, the Holy Prophet decided to portray him as a role model. The Holy Prophet described him as the master of martyrs. When he entered Medina after the Battle of Badr, he saw that the women of Medina were crying for the martyred.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Four of the martyrs were from among the immigrants, and 68 from among the immigrants, and 68 were from among the Ansar. The women whose Ansar dear ones had been martyred were crying and moaning. The Holy Prophet listened for a while and said, "There is no one to cry for Hamza." When this news reached the ears of Medina women, they said that they would cry for Hamza before they would cry for their own dear ones. In other words, the Holy Prophet encouraged the whole Medina to cry for him. This is an act of creating a role model. That did not only concern the people living at that time. Rather, it concerns the whole history and all Muslims. The work that you two are doing is not only related to Iran either. What you're doing, if you do it well, hopefully, will be a service to all Islamic and Arab countries and also countries speaking other languages. All these countries must and will benefit from your work, and perhaps the artist will step forward to carry out big artistic feats. Now, what we should do is to determine the elements constituting the personality of Hamza. A great task is to clarify the qualities that gave him such greatness. In my opinion, this is one of the tasks. These qualities should turn into a model for us and for others so that we can learn from them.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.